Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today's topic is absolutely fascinating. We're going to be looking at how Islamic rule, the Delhi Sultanate and the Mughals, really changed how India's sacred spaces and landscape looks.
Yeah, it's a great question to explore because it really goes beyond just thinking about new buildings that popped up.
Right, it's not just like, oh, new rulers, new buildings.
Exactly. It's more about like, how did the whole concept of what makes a place sacred? How did that change? And we'll be digging into some awesome examples like Sufi shrines.
Oh yeah, those are amazing.
The Mughal gardens, those are incredible. And even how these roadside inns called sarais fit into everything.
I'm excited to learn more about those. From the sources you send, it looks like we've got some really surprising discoveries ahead.
Oh, for sure. One of the most fascinating things is when these Islamic rulers came to India, starting with the Delhi Sultanate, it wasn't just a case of, okay, our faith and style are replacing everything that was here before.
So it wasn't a total wipe the slate clean situation.
Nope, not at all. It was way more complex than that. Think more like interaction, adaptation, a real mix.
So they weren't just tearing down temples and building mosques in their place.
No, not necessarily. In fact, especially during the Mughal period, they often took elements of existing Indian architecture and incorporated them into their own buildings. There's even evidence of them supporting, you know, patronizing Hindu religious figures and places.
Really? Wow, I never would have guessed that.
It's true. Think about Akbar, one of the most famous Mughal emperors. Everyone knows him for his policy of religious tolerance.
Right, but sometimes that's just talk.
Yeah, you think, oh, sure, tolerance. But Akbar actually walked the walk. He genuinely supported different faiths, Hinduism included, and that open-mindedness. You can see it reflected in the architectural styles from his reign. Like Fatehpur Sikri, his planned capital city, you see this amazing blend of Islamic and Hindu elements in the buildings there.
Okay, so we're seeing this mixing of styles, but let's narrow our focus a bit. You mentioned Sufi shrines earlier. And I have to say, they were what really jumped out at me in the research. The sources talked about how they mix Islamic and Indian design in such a cool way.
Oh yeah, Sufi shrines are a perfect example of this fusion we're talking about. But to really get it, you kind of have to understand a bit about Sufism itself.
Right, get into the mindset.
Exactly. So Sufism, it's like this mystical branch of Islam. It really emphasizes the individual's experience, their connection to the divine, and is a bit less focused on strict rituals.
So it's less about dogma and more about a personal spiritual journey.
You got it. And that emphasis on personal experience, it translated into a more flexible way of approaching architecture as well. Like, take jolly screens, for example.
I see.
Those are those beautifully carved stone lattices you often see in Mughal buildings, all intricate.
I love those. They let light and air filter through in such a cool way.
Exactly. But here's the thing. They weren't just a Mughal invention. They took inspiration from earlier Indian examples, like the tomb of Yusuf Katal in Delhi, which was around way before the Mughals even arrived.
And they saw something they liked and made it their own.
Precisely. It wasn't just imposing. It was adapting and evolving. And this wasn't just for decoration either. Look at the tomb of Sheikh Salim Chishti, also at Fatehpur Sikri. You see this brilliant mix of influences there from Akbar's Timurid heritage, so that's Central Asian, and even stuff from pre-Mughal Indian architecture. It's all blended in.
That's really making me think. The design of these shrines, it's almost like it mirrors the inclusive nature of Sufism itself.
That's a great observation. You're absolutely right. You're seeing how different cultures could exchange ideas and artistic styles, and they were open to embracing these influences. It created something new, this Indo-Islamic style, and it's truly unique.
It's really remarkable.
And this blending of styles, this fusion, it wasn't just limited to shrines. The Mughal gardens are another perfect example. They drew inspiration from all over, Persian traditions, Timurid, and of course, Indian.
Oh, absolutely. Those gardens are just breathtaking. They really do feel like you've stepped into paradise. What is it about them that's so unique? How did they create that effect?
Well, to understand that, we need to go back to the beginnings of the Mughal dynasty. Remember Babur, the first Mughal emperor?
Yeah, I remember reading about him.
Well, he was a Timurid prince, meaning his family ruled parts of Central Asia. And he was head over heels for the gardens of Herat, a major Timurid city, famous for its lush gardens.
So when Babur came to India, he brought that love of gardens with him, incorporated into the Mughal world.
Exactly. And with that, he brought the concept of the charbagh to India. It became like a signature of Mughal gardens.
Now, I gotta admit, charbagh is new to me. What exactly is that?
Oh, no worries. Charbagh just means four gardens. It's a garden layout divided into four quadrants, often with water channels running through them. And those channels, they symbolize the four rivers of paradise mentioned in the Quran.
Ah, so it's not just about aesthetics. It's got this deeper symbolic meaning, representing paradise as it's understood in Islam.
Exactly. It wasn't just decoration. It was a way to make that vision of paradise real here on earth. And this idea, it really resonated with the Mughals. Take the Taj Mahal, probably the most famous example. It's not just a stunning building. It's set within a charbagh, too.
Right. I always think of the Taj Mahal as this monument to love, which it is, but there's this whole other layer there, too.
It really shows how the Mughals connected love, death, and the idea of paradise, all woven together beautifully. And speaking of beautiful gardens,
what is, are there any other charbagh gardens that you find particularly interesting?
Oh, tons. Shalimar Bagh in Kashmir is another one that just blows you away. These gardens really show how important nature was to Mughal architecture. It's like they were trying to create a little piece of heaven on earth.
It's amazing how they could be so grand and so peaceful at the same time. And they weren't just for looking at, right?
Oh, definitely not. They were used for all sorts of things. Sometimes a tranquil escape from court life. Other times they hosted huge royal gatherings and celebrations. They were really versatile spaces.
We've talked about these incredible Sufi shrines and the peaceful beauty of the Mughal gardens. But you also mentioned sarais, those roadside inns. I have to admit, I'm not too familiar with them. What made them so important in the context of Islamic rule and all these sacred spaces?
What's really cool about sarais is how they fit into these pilgrimage networks. Pilgrimage was a huge part of life in pre-modern India for people of all faiths, really. And these sarais provided shelter, a safe place to stay, for people making these journeys, which, you know, could be really long and tough.
So they were more than just a place to crash for the night.
Oh, absolutely. They were essential, like key points on these complex routes, helping people move and exchange ideas, made those religious journeys possible for so many.
So they were these bustling hubs, people from all walks of life coming together, sharing stories, experiences. I bet those walls could talk. Are there any sarais that really highlight this role they played?
There's a really interesting one in Bihar. It was built by Daud Khan, a Mughal governor. And what's so cool about this particular sarai is its architecture. It reflects this dynamism of that time period. You see elements of older Mughal styles blended with newer influences.
That's so neat. It's like these sarais weren't just buildings. They were symbols of all these connections and infrastructure that Islamic rule brought.
Yeah.
Something as simple as a roadside inn, but it played such a huge role in connecting people across India. Amazing how something so ordinary can be so significant historically. It really makes you rethink some assumptions, doesn't it? Like how empires worked, how different cultures and religions interacted. You always think about empires imposing their own ways.
You're so right. It's easy to fall into that trap.
You're like, oh, new ruler. Everyone has to be like them now.
Exactly. But the story of Islamic rule in India is so much more nuanced than that. Than just conquest and everyone conforming. It's this fascinating mix of exchange, adaptation. They created something totally new and unique.
This deep dive has honestly been eye-opening.
Yeah. I mean,
we started talking about how the concept of sacred space was transformed, and then we got into those gorgeous Sufi shrines.
Oh, yeah, those are something else.
The peaceful beauty of those Mughal gardens, and even how those roadside inns, the sarais, played such a crucial role in connecting everyone.
It really shows you the lasting impact of both the Delhi Sultanate and the Mughal Empire on India. And not just the physical buildings themselves, but that legacy of fusion, adaptation, openness to new ideas.
It really makes you think, like, how did this support for both Hindu and Muslim religious spaces, especially from rulers like Akbar, how did that lead to this Indo-Islamic style we see today? It's something we can still appreciate centuries later.
Absolutely. Those architectural wonders aren't just relics of the past, you know? They're a testament to how a powerful cultural exchange can be, the beauty that happens when different traditions come together. It's something to think about as you keep exploring this world of Indo-Islamic architecture.
That's a perfect note to wrap things up on. It reminds us that history isn't just dates and names in a textbook.
Right. It's so much more than that.
It's about human stories, how cultures mixed, and how all of that shaped the world we live in. So keep diving deeper into this world of Indo-Islamic architecture. There's so much more to uncover.